The FBC family is awake now. Right, amen. Thank you, Rosemary, Pastor Ansu, and praise team for helping us understand how things really are, right? We can trust the Lord because when we seek him, he hears us and he answers, right? So we thank God for that. Thank you guys so very, very much. We appreciate you leading us in worship and praise. So we're just going to take a minute to pray. Take your Bibles, by the way. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. It's kind of right next to each other. Go there if you would. And let's just ask God to meet with us right now as we open up his word, all right? Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, dear God, for the praise and worship, Lord, that takes your word and just takes it right to our heart that we can celebrate that you're a God that we can trust. And Lord, we come to you today, Lord, and we do trust you. And we ask, dear God, that if we open up your word today, that you would give us clarity, Lord, on a challenging subject called giving. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our heart, Lord, that we've been doing this series called Pursuing You. And I pray, dear God, as we have better understand what it means to walk close with you, Lord, you would help us in these practical things as well. Lord, even as we come up on the season when we celebrate your resurrection that changes everything. Lord, give us clarity of thought and communication, I pray. Take away the distractions, Lord, that, you know, might be bothering us or we're thinking about. Lord, even the attitudes, even about this topic, I pray, work in our hearts. And Lord God, I just ask these things now in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So we're going to slide right through this. You guys, this is really our last week in this series, Pursuing God. Remember, we told you a few weeks ago, okay, we had studied that book by E.W. Tozer, and we were digging in and really thinking, and we were fasting and praying and trying to get a better handle on what it means to really pursue God, knowing him, finding life, and experiencing peace. And today, we're going to kind of wrap that up, and we're going to talk about a difficult subject. And by the way, if you're visitors today, welcome. We're so glad that you guys are here. And we have not really a visitor, but Mitchell is here all the way from Ireland, right? He really didn't just come for church. He came to see Wilder J. Because you know they're getting married really soon, so that's good. But I say this to say that we're dealing with a tough subject. And by the way, if there's any topic in church that is more controversial, more frustrating, it's how do we give, isn't it? And there's all kinds of things. You've heard people, you know, you've heard people on TV say, you know, just give your seed money and, you know, and God's going to get a new car in your driveway in a couple of weeks. We know that's not really how it works. You know, we hear people say, well, you better tithe, otherwise God's going to punish you. Well, that's not really how it works. And there's so much confusing about this topic about how do we give back to God? And we're going to try today in one message. And you guys know as a church family, and our deacons kind of get on me and Pastor Ansu, we don't preach about giving very often, like once a year maybe, right? But I'll throw this out. It's important for us to understand what God says. And we want to be obedient to God. We want to pursue God in every area of life. And this is one of them. And by the way, isn't it, as we look at the world, isn't it challenging right now? Like, man, like we just saw the price of gas just go up to like some exorbitant number. I was driving. I had to go to Sam's yesterday for a church, pick up a couple of things. And two things that were amazing to me. One, I saw the price of diesel at one gas station be $6 per gallon. And that means everything you all buy is going to cost more, right? And then it was interesting. I went to Sam's and I had a couple of things for church and a couple of things for us too. But I bought coffee yesterday. Who's a coffee drinker? Yeah, I'm not really one of those, right? So yeah, I'm praying for you guys because I bought this thing of coffee, and I remember, I've been doing this since I was a youth pastor. I go to Sam's, buy coffee sometimes, and it used to be like $6 for a whole big can. Yesterday, I paid $18. I hope Mark Berry, he's doing taxes. He's like sucked away this time. I hope he's not listening to this message because he'll kill me if you know I spent $18 for coffee. Can you believe it? It's unbelievable, right? So I say that too, to say this as well. Isn't this a challenging time to figure out what in the world do we do with our money and how do we deal with church? And I'll share with you guys just a kind of a kind of a crazy story. How many people like to shovel snow? Raise your hand. Amen. Okay, Pastor Ansu, get their names. Get their names, right? We just, and Carol's over there, right? We just paid the bill this year for our snow shoveling season, you know, and our plowing, I should say, not so much shoveling. Guess how much we paid this year? $15,000. Count that. That's a lot of zeros after the 15, right? Dennis, our treasurer, like, yeah. Yeah, yeah. He's the treasurer, and he's tight with money, too, like Mark. And it's just, like, unbelievable, right? So as we think about the resources that God gives us, everybody, I'm going to say one thing. Rosemary, thank you for picking that song. Because we trust in God, right? And God's able to make a way when it doesn't seem to be any way. And he's doing that, right? So we're going to jump in right away, and we're going to deal with this tough subject. And I want to look at it. We're going to look at it through all the scriptures, because scripture is the best commentator on itself. And I just said this. Giving to God in the church is a confusing concept. How do we know what to do? God's word is going to tell us. So we're going to dig into that. And I want to just kind of go back to our eternal truth. If you, you know, if you're here today and you say, what in the world they talk about church? This is it. We cannot guarantee better situations in our lives, and we certainly understand that, but we must be better people. And that's what God wants us to be. God wants us to be more like Christ all the time, right? And here's the thought. Better people pursue God. We've been studying that, right? They trust him, and they give back to him with thanksgiving. Everybody look up for a second. This message, like last week, we talked about serving. And by the way, there's a sheet on the bulletin board. If you're thinking this week you got an hour of time, there's a big counter. It's like this big. Can't miss it. There's some places that if you want to just come plug in and do something for God, just come. All right? And then the names of the people, if you need to talk to them, are right under that as well. But check that out. But this is not to make anybody feel guilty. Get that. I want to take away the guilt. This is to teach us how do we honor God in this really challenging area of life, right? So I want you guys to relax. I want you to dig in. Think with me, because I spent a lot of time this week. By the way, I was reading about all kinds of churches and their different perspectives on giving as they interpret the word of God too. So different, so confusing at times. But here's a thought I want to leave with you guys is this. This is something you ought to probably write down. Giving back a portion of our resources to God should be a willing, planned, purposeful, joyful, bountiful, limitless act of worship. Faith, love, thanksgiving, and blessing. That kind of summarizes giving, right? I'm going to pick a word there for a second. I try to use these words in a way it makes sense. The idea of limitless, there's no minimum and no maximum of what we give to God. Isn't that kind of a good thing? By the way, because the law has been fulfilled by Jesus. But there's no minimum and there's no maximum, but there is responsibility to respond to what God wants us to do. And that's what we're going to kind of dig into today. So let's dig in real fast this morning. So the first thing I want you guys to do, and you guys might want to take a picture of this or write it down, but there's principles about the tithe and about giving in the Old Testament. There's principles there, and there's really, I listed as four items. It's really more like eight. But get this in your mind. A couple of things I want you guys to get a hold of. We're going to dig into the passage and figure it out. So here's the first one, right? Worship and recognition is the principle. We worship God, and we recognize, by the way, who is the source of everything that we have? It's God. You might say, man, I work really hard. You probably do. But God gives you the strength, the health, and the energy, and the intellect to do it. Right? You know, so God does that. So we worship. Worship and recognition is one. Here's the second one. Faith and obedience, right, is the Old Testament principle. Faith and obedience. We trust in God, and we do what God says. And it's called the law on that day, right? The third concept is this, love, joy, and thanksgiving. Love, joy, and thanksgiving. We'll dig into that, too. And by the way, I want you to check this one out, because it's so controversial this day where we're, you know, if you're a stranger, we want to just throw you out. No, God has a different plan about that. Blessing the Levites and the strangers. And the Levites, by the way, were the temple workers. Worshiping God is important to God. And God had a whole host of people that were responsible for the sacrifices, dealing with people, teaching, singing, worship, praise. Just imagine all the cleanup after the sacrifices. Distributing those byproducts, all those things, right? That was part of it. So God wanted them to be blessed, and also for the poor, who, by the way, in this passage, Jesus says, or the Bible says, we're going to always have with us. And they're part of our responsibility, as frustrating as that might be sometimes, right? So let's dig in for a second. We're going to look at a couple of passages. And by the way, you can jot these down. There's a number of passages. Tithing begins all the way back in Genesis, right? But these are some key ones. Deuteronomy chapter 14, Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, you know, where God says the tithe is his. Numbers chapter 18, verses 21 to 26. And 2 Chronicles, when the nation of Israel was brought back, Hezekiah restored giving back to God, because everybody forgot about that. So those are some key passages. We're going to jump in here on Deuteronomy chapter 14. And I want everybody to look up for a second. What is the book of Deuteronomy all about? Anybody know? The law. And by the way, it's the second giving of the law. Because what happened? The first giving, remember, Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the nation of Israel had made the golden calf, and he was so mad, he just slammed the tablets of the law down. Well, Deuteronomy is, you know, God, by the way, praise God for his grace, right? So he lets Moses come up one more time. He gets it again, and he says, this is how we who are people of God are supposed to live. It's the second giving of the law. And look what he says in this. I want you guys to get a hold of this with me this morning. I apologize if it's not too small, but it may be a small. I tried to highlight in bold the key concepts I want you to grab a hold of this afternoon. And here they are. First one is, it says, you shall, and again, everybody look up. Let me see your eyes for a quick sec. These are the Old Testament principles of tithing, who are for who? The Israelites, the Jews, right? There's definitely principles that apply to us, but remember, giving is limitless, no min, no max. We all like no min, but we don't have to talk about so no max, right? But that's the case, right? So look what he says. He says, you shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that a field produces year by year, and you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide, the tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil of the firstborn of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. And I want to say this. Here's a principle. Where does everything come from? God. We give back to God because he's the one who gave it in the first place. And we by this idea of fear isn't like I cower in fear from God, but it's I respect who God is as the sovereign in the universe, my creator, and he's the one who sustains me in everything. So I respect him, right? And he says that's a principle we get a hold of. And he says, that you may learn to fear the Lord always. And he says, and by the way, think about this. Think about how God thinks about everything. Everybody look up for a second. In the Old Testament, what did they give back to God? Interact with me. What did they give back to God? What did they give him? They gave God animals, right? They had to redeem animals. They gave God the first of their crops, right? The oil, the wine, right? They gave God all those things. But here's an interesting question. We're not, Pastor Anson, I don't think we're really equipped to handle, like, don't bring your dog next week. You know, don't bring your cow if you got one, or your chickens. I think that's illegal in Willingboro. I'm not sure. But, you know, don't bring him here because we're not quite equipped to handle all that. And by the way, God even understood in that day, By the way, can you imagine trying to drag your cow like 50 miles to the temple? That'd be a good experience, right? And the Lord, by the way, thought of all these things. And look what he said. He said, but if the journey is too long for you so that you won't be able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money. Take the money in your hand and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses. And I want you guys to understand by you saying the place where the Lord your God is talking about. Remember, the tabernacle was moving. The tabernacle was the temple, but it was mobile until the temple was set up at Jerusalem. So the tabernacle, you know, one day, remember they wandered in the wilderness for how long? 40 years. The tabernacle is over there. The tabernacle is over there. The tabernacle is over there. And who knows where you are, but it may be a real difficult thing to get your goods in kind to the tabernacle. And God makes a way, but he makes this principle for us, you know, that we need to recognize that he's the one that we respect and fear, and he's the one we get back to because we trust him, right? And I'll just keep right on down this for a second. And look what he continues. He said, and you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep or wine or similar drink, for whatever your heart desires. You shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household, and you shall not forsake the Levite who was within your gates. And I want to just say this for a second. Do you get a sense about, is it supposed to be like, it's supposed to be a drag, it's supposed to be difficult, it's supposed to be hard? And I want to share with you guys, and we all been there, we talked about this in staff this week, didn't we, answering Rosemary. You know, have you ever gone somewhere and they have a free will offering and you don't know what's happening? And you're going like, everyone's looking, and you say like you're with me. Pastor Gary, y'all waiting to see, is Pastor Gary going to give? And Pastor Gary looks in his wallet and he goes, oh man, I only got 20s. And you know what goes through your mind, right? It's like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do, right? But that's not how giving is supposed to work, right? It's not supposed to be, let me find the smallest bill. Right? Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Let me find the smallest bill because I got to go get a haircut tomorrow and I got no money, you know. Or, you know, let me roll the ones all up and I'll put it in with a real tight fist so they don't see what it is, right? You know, and again, by the way, I'm trying to keep it real, right? It's true, right? Y'all know how I'm talking about, right? Right? So giving's not supposed to be like that, because look at the words that he uses. He said, you shall eat there before the Lord your God. It's like a celebration, right? He says, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. And as you're giving back to God, don't forget these poor people. You're supposed to help them out. Right? Isn't that a different experience? Like, in the West or in America, we're like, you know, holding on to that money with, in my case, white knuckles. And you know what that means, right? It means they're really tight grip on it, right? You know, so it doesn't make sense. And this is a principle from the Old Testament that we need to understand. He says, and the Levites, because he has no portion or inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fathers and the widow who are within your gates may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. Did you get a hold of that? It says that, let's just kind of back up real quick. Where does everything come from? And when I act like a channel of God's blessing, it just keeps coming. And I have to be a channel, I have to be able to not hold it like this, but hold it like this. And when someone has a need, I got to be willing to kind of give that up, knowing that the author and the creator can just keep it coming right down the pipe for me to be a blessing to everybody. Isn't that kind of cool? And it's like this celebration. It's like, by the way, maybe Rosemary, when we do the offertory, we got to be having some like really celebrating songs or something, I guess, right? So we can be like, yes, it's offering time. You know, it doesn't seem like that in church, does it though? A lot of times, right? We're like, oh. And by the way, I'll throw this out. We don't even like to talk about it because some people get angry. But God wants us to be like you know, givers that are just thrilled to be a blessing. And that's what he says in this text. And I want to drop down quickly to, and it's a little bit bigger on the screen. This passage, and by the way, write this in your notes. And it's not in your outline that I gave in the bulletin, but it's Deuteronomy 26. And it really just summarizes all of these issues about the tithe and Old Testament giving. And it says, and it shall be when you come into the land which, by the way, who gave you? The Lord your God, who has given you an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land, and the Lord your God has given you, and put it in a basket, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. Remember why? Because the tabernacle is moving around. So you put it in your basket and you say, God, thank you for sustaining me and blessing me with all this stuff because you're the author of all those things. And he says, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide, and you shall go to the one who was the priest in those days. And look what you say to the priest. I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. What's he saying? You know what he's trying to say? He's saying, you know what? God keeps his word. You know what? I have this produce from this land because God said a long time ago he was going to bring us here, and God has now delivered on what he said. And he continues, and he said, then the priest shall take the basket out of your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God, and you shall answer and say before the Lord your God. Everybody get this. Everybody look up at the screen at this here. Look what he says to God. He says, and by the way, remember, the promised land, Abraham was drawn from Ur of the Chaldees, right, to the nation. And he says, my father was a Syrian about to die. And he went down to Egypt, and he dwelt there, few in number, and there he became a great nation, great, mighty, and populous. Again, who did what? God is the one who gave, right? God's the one who provided all this way. And even when it looked bad, 430 years in slavery, God's the one who met their need, grew the nation of Israel from a handful of people to millions. So he said, look what God did. And he says, when you go to the priest and you give your offering, declare that before God. God, you're the one. You're the one who did this, right? And look, he continues and he says, but the Egyptians mistreated us, afflicted us, and laid hard bondage on us. And by the way, Rosemary must have read this passage. It says, then we cried out to the Lord. Remember how we just said, we cried out to the Lord. We sought the Lord, and he what? And he heard, and he answered, right? And it says, we cried out to the Lord God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice, looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, with great terror, and with signs and wonders. He has brought us to this place and given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. Now everybody look up for a second. Isn't that a good perspective? I give to God, and I don't know about you guys, how many of us like, and by the way, it's not bad. Everybody look at me, understand what I'm saying. It's not bad if you give like a fixed percentage. Maybe it's 10%. Or you know that every week I can give God. I looked at my budget. I looked at everything. I'm trying to be gracious to God and other people that are hurting. And God, I give you $50 every week. That's not a bad thing. But he's saying, you know what? I do that and I think about who is the source of what I have. Right? And he says, and he said, he remembers every time, look where God brought me from. And look what God brought me to. And this idea, this like idea of thankfulness and all is just pent up in that. And look what it says. And it says, then you shall set before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. Like giving is an act of our worship. So you shall rejoice in every good thing that the Lord your God has given you and your house, you and the Levite and the stranger who is among you. In other words, we rejoice that God blessed us to be a blessing. Right? And that's kind of cool. That's this principle. So, So I want to just ask us a real quick question. So what do you think was God's purpose in commanding Israel to tithe? What was his purpose? And the answer is that he would receive more worship. We would recognize, where does it all come from? Comes from God, right? He would test our faith and grow our faith, and we would obey him. We would give with love, joy, and thanksgiving, remembering who he is. And we would be a blessing to the temple workers, the Levites, and the strangers, the poor, and everyone else who is a foreigner in the land. By the way, is that a countercultural concept or what? Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's unbelievable, right? So this is what God wants us to kind of draw out of that as New Testament believers, right? So I want to slide down quickly today. So what are the practices of the New Testament? And by the way, you notice there's no animals. You know, did anybody put like carrots or tomatoes in the offering plate today? Nobody did that. I like tomatoes, but don't do that, right? But here's the New Testament practices, right? There's a willingness. By the way, you shouldn't give because me or Pastor Ansu just preached a message on giving. Or you shouldn't give because the neighbor next to you is checking out what you're doing. There needs to be a willingness of heart that we give because what God has blessed us with, right? Our giving should be purposeful. You know, it's not just, here, take that. You know, it should be a joyful and a bountiful experience, and it's limitless, and Jesus is the pattern, right? So let's kind of drill into this and understand for a second. So again, reminding us, and again, you guys got this idea down already. Here's the thought. God remains the source, and the law has been fulfilled, and now as we give, grace is the principle. The Greek word, by the way, for grace is also the word for gift. Like, it's really tied into this idea of giving, right? So there's a verse in the book of James that I think we need to kind of take a minute to think about. And here it is. It says, do not be deceived. And by the way, remember, Satan is the deceiver. He was a liar from the beginning. He is great at deceiving us. And a lot of times he'll make us all think that because we're doing so well, we're working hard, and we're, you know, doing well on the job, getting paid good, that it's all about us. But he said, don't be deceived, because it's all about God. And he says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. In other words, he's saying, God doesn't change. There's a verse in Hebrews that says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Malachi, he says, I change not. Therefore, you're not consumed, right? And we got to understand that everything comes from God. So that overarching principle that we learned carries into the New Testament. This is not the only place it's said, but it's a big place that we understand, right? And then I want us to understand this. Let me ask you guys a question. Should we as Christians keep the law? There are some facets that we should keep. Here's the interesting question. How many people out there like shrimp and lobster and crabs? Raise your hand. Preach it, brother. Amen, right? All right. Well, guess what? The Jewish law said no shrimp, no lobster, and no crabs. So we are all some big sinners if that's where we are, right? You understand? So there's parts of the Jewish law. Remember, it was the Jewish law. It was given to the Israelites, right? To be a people that were set apart to God that would be different than everyone who lived around them in that day. But those parts of the law are not applicable to Christians from every culture. Think about the church. Is the church made up of all Jews? No. I mean, in a sense, we're sons of Abraham by what? By faith. But we are a church, the Universal Church of Jesus Christ, has drawn people out from everywhere. We don't just worship at the temple in Jerusalem. Let me ask another question. When was the last time y'all made a sacrifice of an animal for your sins? Some of you want to sacrifice maybe your dog. Maybe he's like a real pain or something. But no, right? We never do that, right? We don't do that. That passed away when Titus Vespasian destroyed Jerusalem and the temple in 70 AD. So we haven't done that for 2,000 years because Jesus fulfilled the law, and the way to Christ and the way to salvation is faith in Jesus Christ, not sacrifices. They don't pay for your sin anymore. You know, here's an illustration I love. The sacrifices were a little bit like, how many folks got a credit card? You're not on camera, don't worry. Right? You got a credit card, right? And you go to the store and you can buy almost anything you want up to your limit, right? But the bad part is, at the end of the day, they're going to take that money out of your account, right? Jesus Christ, right? The sacrifices were paying for your sin on credit. When Jesus died and rose again, your account was paid in full. And that's the difference, right? So I say that to say this, right? And Jesus said this. He said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly," or "truly, truly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." And Jesus fulfilled the law. So by Jesus' sacrifice, we don't need to make another sacrifice anymore in our lives if we receive his. Likewise, we are not required to bring our corn, our grain, our animals to the church as an act of giving, as the law says for the Jews. But we are supposed to give joyfully, generously, in all these other ways, right? Because we have responsibilities. Some of those same principles carry forward, right? The poor, the temple workers, recognizing who God is. All those things kind of remain in place. But we are not defined by, do we give 10% or not? If you give 10%, it's a great thing. If you give 20%, it's a great thing. If you give 100%, it's a great thing. None of those things save you, though. They're just a step of obedience and responsibility, right? And Jesus said that. He came to fulfill the law. And then there's items in the law. And by the way, I probably shouldn't have said this so close to lunch. Now y'all thinking about lobster, crab, and shrimp, right? So if you want to go get those for lunch today, God bless you. It's okay. If you want to invite me and Pastor Ansu, it's more than okay. Right? It's okay. But we're not bound by that same law anymore, right? But check it out, right? And here's 1 Corinthians. God remains the source and the law has been fulfilled. Grace is the principle as we think about our giving, right? And I want you guys to get this in our mind. Giving is planned and it's consistent. And that's a big thing for us, right? As, you know, one of the challenges of First Baptist Church, sometimes we'll put things in place, new process, new procedures, and man, we are kicking it up for like 3 weeks. When we get to week 4, it kind of goes by the wayside sometimes, right? Isn't that true in our lives? That, like we have a hard time being consistent. So, you know, it's good to give in January and February, but keep it going all the way till December. Whatever God has put on your heart that you can give, give, right? Give every week, give every month, however your frequency is. Giving is planned and consistent. And look what the Apostle Paul wrote these words. He says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must also do. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper." What's he talking about here? So as we give, right? You work this week, God has blessed you, prospered you, and we in our mind determine before Sunday, this is what I'm going to give. And And I'm going to throw this out. I want to kind of contrast that. Remember the free will offering example? It's like you don't want to come to church and go, you know, that money that I saved, I actually spent it yesterday. Right? You want to have a plan. Like, hey, God, you know what? I'm going to give you 50. Hey, God, I'm going to give you 100. Hey, God, I'm going to give you 25. Hey, God, I'm going to give you 10. And it's ready to go. We plan for it. We purpose in our heart to bless God and bless others. And we do it consistently. And that's kind of the idea. And by the way, this idea was the Galatians were collecting money because there was so much persecution of the church going on in Jerusalem. People were starving. People were fleeing. They had such incredible needs. And this is an offering. And Paul said, I'm going to come get that offering. But don't wait till I come because all y'all are going to forget your money at home. Purpose in your heart. Do it now so when I come, I'm going to get it and I'm going to go bless those saints because they can't wait. That's kind of the principle he's talking about here. So first point, right? Giving is planned and consistent. Here's the next one. 2 Corinthians 8, where I told you to turn to that in the beginning, right? Continuing, right? God remains the source and the law has been fulfilled. So look what he says. He says, moreover, brothers, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. That was a whole lot of I-T-Y words, wasn't it? What is he trying to say? Guess, get this. Here's the issue. Remember that persecution going on at Jerusalem? Guess what? It was going on all across that part of the world. The Roman world, into Corinth, into Macedonia, right? And look what he says about the Macedonians. He says, these people, although they were undergoing persecution, although they were struggling, in their heart, God put this desire, we got to help our brothers and our sisters. Isn't that kind of cool? And I'll throw this out. Everybody look up for a sec. What do we say about family? We say, you know, blood's thicker than water, right? Families, we stick together, don't we? You know, and by the way, everyone's got a family. Sometimes we're going like, ooh, yeah, my family's crazy. I'd ask you to raise your hand how many people have crazy families, but I'm not going to do that. But because they might see us online, you know. But we all got crazy families and crazy family members, but family, we stick together, right? And in the body of Christ, even if one person is suffering a little, someone else might be suffering a lot. And we want to bless them. We want to help them. Again, that's this principle, right? The principle is giving comes from a willing heart in faith. And look what he says here. He says, for I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, and I'll throw this out. Sometimes we go, you know, I know you guys are struggling. Don't give anything today. But you really shouldn't hear that from me. You should hear that from the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit says, give what's in your wallet, go ahead and give. It's kind of like the widow's mite. She gave the very last thing she had, and God still took care of her, right? That's the idea. So we're not going to tell you, you better give this, or you shouldn't give. This is an exercise between you and the Spirit of God, where God is working in your heart to set apart what you need to set apart, and you give it. And you give it joyfully and thankfully, recognizing who God is. And you give it every time, right? That's the idea, right? And he says this. He says, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. You know, giving is part of fellowship. And can, by the way, everybody look up. Can you imagine this picture? These people are begging Paul to take their offering. Is that countercultural or what? Think about that. They're saying, please, please, I know we have a lot of problems, but take this gift that God has put on our heart and use it to bless those other folks. Isn't that a good spirit? But you understand the difference? That's kind of like giving with grace versus giving by law. So it's not, you better give your 10. It's, please give what the Lord has put on your heart to give. Give it joyfully, give it thankfully, give it knowing God's going to be able to take care of you and meet your need, and that's between you and God. Okay, right? Makes sense, right? And that's what he says here. So I'm not going to deal with the other couple of verses there, but giving comes from a willing heart in faith, right? And we're gonna move right on down as we kind of continue that idea. And look what he says next about giving. Like, giving is purposeful, it's joyful, it's bountiful, and it's this limitless thing. Because he says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And what he's kind of getting at here again is not the issue of how much is in your wallet, but what is in your heart. Does that make sense? Because we can look at our wallet and go, we can know we got these bills coming up. By the way, please, if you have your electric bill due tomorrow, don't put that in the offering plate today unless you're getting paid tomorrow. Because the next call is, hey, I need a benevolence because the electric bill, they're going to turn me off, right? That doesn't make sense, right? So we look at what we got, and we know what God has blessed us with, and we purpose before anything else, even the electric bill, boom, I'm going to give that to God because he put it on my heart, right? And we give, I like what he said here, the idea of bountiful. If you sow, if you give in a bountiful, gracious way, what does God do? God blesses in a bountiful, gracious way. And again, everybody look up for a second. So let me take away a lack of clarity that we experience. And you will hear this from preachers. And here's the challenge. A lot of times the church messes up the gospel. And we don't want to do that. But understand this. Just because you gave someone a big gift doesn't mean that this week God's going to give you a big gift. So please, that thought is from the pit. That is the deception of Satan. And just because you gave a big gift, don't think, you know, I'm just waiting on God. It's coming. Please don't do that. But understand that God is faithful. And if we are obedient to God and passionate in love and gracious in love like Jesus was to others, God is going to meet our needs. That's a big difference. Big difference right there, right? And look what he says. And again, here it goes back to that faith issue, right? He says, God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. And he was trying to say, remember, right? You give cheerfully because God's going to be able to kind of refill. And I want you guys to think about this just for a second. Everybody look up. A principle we all wrestle with, right? Sometimes we give to God and we're just like, I think I should hold on to it because I don't know what's going to happen next week. Or I should hold on to it because I don't know what's going to happen next month. Or I should hold on to it because, you know, next year my daughter's getting married. Or I should hold on to it because, I'm going to retire in a couple years. You know, we have all these ideas. But all those ideas just take God out the picture, right? And that's not how we want to think, right? If God's put on your heart to give, give it and leave the results up to God. And I want you to think about this. Process this with me. All of us in the church, even together, could we ever, without God, save enough money to do all the things we would have to do? Even if we never gave a penny back to God, would you have enough? And I like to use this illustration, college, right? I just heard this, by the way. I'm a graduate, and I don't say this in my back way. I went to the University of Pennsylvania, and my company paid for my tuition, right? I heard this year that tuition at Penn will be $90,000. $90,000. You know, that's a lot of zeros, right, again, right? $90,000. Now, here's the deal. In this congregation, by the way, if this is an easy one for you, we're so glad you're here. But if, for most of us, there is no way that I have $360,000 plus the increases that go up every year to pay for my student to go to Penn. This is impossible. But when I bring God into the picture, scholarships fall out the sky. Right? Work study happens. You know, God does things that we can't do, right? Because we give what God puts on our heart to give, and we trust God to do what God needs to do in our lives, right? That's the difference here, right? So we give what with purpose. We give joyfully. We give bountifully. You know, we don't just give God a one. Here, God, take that. You know, and it's limitless. No minimum, no maximum. And by the way, here's the other side of this. For some of us, maybe we got to a place now where we're doing okay. Maybe we can give more, right? Maybe there was a day we were just making it, and we thought it through. We prayed to God. We talked to him, and we gave what we gave. But maybe God's blessed us now. We could do better. And this needs to be an ongoing conversation that we have with God. How much should I give? And the conversation, by the way, is not with your neighbor or your friend or the guy on TV. It's with God. How much should I give, right? So that's the key thing, right, to kind of get your arms wraps around. And he kind of continues to say this idea about how God can supply us. And then he goes down and he just says this. When we as the people of God give, God gets the glory. Because people are amazed, and I'll throw this out, and Reverend Guy just left to get set up down there in the food pantry. People come here, they're like, wow. And I'll share with you guys, this is God. There are some meats and things that come into the food pantry that I can't afford to buy. And it goes like right out the door, and the price is always right, zero. It's unbelievable. That's what God is able to do, right? God supplies. And the administration of that, us giving to God. And by the way, I want you guys to think with me about the food pantry just for a second. And this is kind of somewhat new. Back in the day, we had to buy food sometimes. We don't ever have to buy food. We buy baggies. We have people. We have one person like on staff that helps us to do stuff, right, with that. We pay for gas to go pick it up. But we don't ever have to buy food. Ever. Look at God. That's unbelievable, right? But here's the deal. If the heat's not on or the air conditioning is not on or the refrigerators don't work, we couldn't take that food and keep it 7 days, right? That's where we come in. You see how God does what we can't do? Like, by the way, imagine, God tells me this, can you imagine if we went to Target? Which is kind of their food, things a little pricier, especially their food, right? Could you imagine us going to Target and getting like 100 pounds of meat, how much that would cost? We couldn't afford to do it. So that comes for free, and God just says, hey, church, keep that electric bill going. Keep that electric bill going. Keep the lights on. Make sure we got gas money to go get that stuff. And then the people in the community go, praise God, look at this steak. How'd I get this? Or look at this clothing that I just got. And it just brings glory to God because they can't figure out, and by the way, we can't either, look what God is doing through the faithfulness of his people. And then God goes over and above and he's throwing, you know, cuts of meat out of heaven that we can't even buy. Unbelievable, right? That's what God does. And again, he wants us to kind of understand that it's a partnership. And I want to just kind of move right along with this. And I just want to say this thing. The pattern for our giving is Jesus. The pattern is Jesus Christ. It says, for you know that the Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Can you imagine this for a second? The modeling Christ in our giving. Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. God used him to do that. It says that in 1 John, along, you know, going back to Genesis as well. He creates the universe. He's the one, the angels are just worshiping him all day long. And he steps down from heaven, it's called condescension, to come to earth to be a servant, to be beaten, to be crucified, and to die. He gave everything. And that's kind of the model that we should have. If God tells us to do it, we're going to do it. And if Jesus didn't say this one time, he said it a ton of times in the Gospels, I came to fulfill my Father's will. Right? And that should be sort of our way of thinking. So what principles from the Old Testament tithe do we see in the New Testament? I'll flash and it'll help you in a second. What has changed in the New Testament as a result of Jesus fulfilling the law? No limits, no min, no max. Just give by your grace, right? And I'll throw this out to you. The practicals of giving today, right? You guys, we think through this a lot. What should I do? Now I know I can do, I can give. I'm not bound to give. I'm not bound to give a certain amount, but how do I figure it out? Look what James said, Jesus' brother. He said, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And I'm going to encourage this, right? This is a tough point, right? Giving is hard stuff. Well, guess what? Ask God how to do it. And I guarantee you, as you open up your Bible and God, you know, God's word, God is going to speak to your heart, and he's going to help you write the check, do the EFT transaction, whatever it is. God's going to help you know exactly what to do. And he's going to keep you throughout that process. And I kind of want to leave you with that. And I just want to kind of go down real fast. I'm just going to skip this over. I'm not going to skip this part. You know, as a church, I want to encourage you guys, right? As we apply biblical principles, try to know and think about the needs of people at church and outside in our community. Be aware of those things, right? And, you know, that's why I said here, know the needs of your church. Attend our business meetings sometimes. It's kind of good to know what in the world we're thinking about or what God's put on our heart. So we're all on the same page. Like I shared some of those numbers with you that are like horrifying. So we know that giving is important because it keeps the lights on, it keeps the refrigerator on in the pantry, it keeps us training our children. You know, I'll share another bill that we have. We just got our bus fixed up to go to snow camp. By the way, our kids had, Pastor Ann, a great time at camp. And God spoke to our kids. We had a couple kids come forward, rededicate their lives to Christ. But you know what happened? We had to get new tires for the bus right before snow camp. And the tires cost $3,500. Because buses have two in the back, you know, so it's like more. So it's more tires. It's six, not four. And they cost a whole bunch of money for every single one because they're big. But here's the cool thing. You know what? One soul in heaven is worth all those tires. Right? But that's where we come along and we partner with God. God, we got to get that snow off the lot because we don't know who's coming in. God, we got to get those kids to camp. God, we got to keep that refrigerator on. God, we got to keep those lights on. And that's where we as the body are like part of that process. Kind of makes sense, right? That's what God wants us to do. So I just encourage you guys, know kind of what's happening, and then you can really pray well about those things, and God's going to really just illuminate you on what to do. So as we summarize real fast, right? Old Testament principle is what? We worship God and we recognize him as we give. We live in faith and practice obedience. We give in love, joy, and with thanksgiving. And we want to be a blessing to the Levites and the strangers, right? And those concepts come forward. And then in the New Testament, right, what do? In the New Testament, our giving is willing, it's planned, in faith, it's purposeful. You guys have a better idea about that even right now. It's joyful and bountiful, and it's limitless because Jesus is our pattern. Right? Amen? So I want to encourage us. I hope that clears up the confusion a little bit, right? Because giving back a portion of our resources to God should be a willing, planned, purposeful, joyful, bountiful, limitless act of our worship, faith, love, thanksgiving, and blessing. And I hope it is, right, as we go forward. So you guys, hopefully we walk out of here no guilt, but we walk out of here with joy and saying, you know what? God is doing something, and I'm going to be part of that team. With my body as I serve and with my wallet as I give to the glory of God, knowing that God's going to make it all work out. Amen? So we're going to turn it over to our praise team. We're going to sing a song. And by the way, if anybody has any questions, any issues, please see us. And always remember, the starting point to doing any of these things is having a relationship with Jesus Christ, because he died and rose again for us.
Let us all please stand as we sing the hymn, "Take My Life and Let It Be."
Spirit, right? And I want to say this to you guys. A lot of times people come to church and they say, "The pastor just beating us up about money." I hope that did not feel like that today. And I want to say this. The things that God is doing right here is because of your faithfulness. It's because of your response to God already. And I just want to challenge us. Let's keep that conversation going with God about giving, just like we keep the conversation going about everything else. And God's going to do what he needs to do to bring himself glory and to bringing people into the kingdom right here. Amen?
Amen.
If anybody has a need, a challenge, want to talk, just grab us at the back. Give us a call as well. If you're a visitor, Jonathan is there in the back. Just please pop out and you can grab. There's a little gift for you just to remember your visit with us today. And I know we have a meeting for our ushers or ushers-to-be right afterwards. Jonathan, where room is that in? I'm sorry. Right here in the sanctuary, right here. And Miss Rosemary has a brief meeting with our parents of our children who are going to sing on Easter. Or maybe you want your children to sing or they want to sing. Miss Rosemary is going to do that right up here on the left-hand side right away. So I hope you guys have a great week. looking forward to the things that God's going to do in the week ahead, right? How about you? Amen. And Pastor Angie, would you pray for us, please?
Amen. Hey, as we were listening to Pastor Gary, one thing he didn't say that. He didn't ask you, church, say, buy us a private jet. Amen? He didn't say, buy us a Ferrari. But he said, bring it that God's name will be glorified in his church. Amen? Amen? Let us pray. Dear God, we want to thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And as we leave from here to the Lord, may we know that you bless us. You are the source of all of that we have. We did not manufacture it by ourselves. You gave us life, and that alone, we owe our life to you, to serve you with every breath that we breathe, Lord. Bless us now, and as we prepare, Lord, for your death, burial, and resurrection, may we realize, Lord, you are the greatest of all that we can cling onto. Bless our days and our weeks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.